podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC on a Wednesday on which not a whole lot is happening because it's a Wednesday and we have no midweek game. What is happening, I suppose, is every Dutch player, every player that's ever been within, 400 miles of Arne Slot, is being linked to Liverpool. And it's genuinely quite funny to see some of the players because, by God, you wouldn't allow them play for the under-21s. The last couple of days, there's been a lot of Coop Miners. There's been a lot of Hankel, a lot of Gertruda, all decent players, none of them good enough to start for us. Gertruda could make some sense in that he can play three or four positions, so you do get that kind of versatility, right back, centre back, defensive midfield, and he could probably do a shift for you at left back if you needed them to. We have a good backup right back though in Conor Bradley, so I don't really see the need for Gertruda. If Trent was to move into midfield, we would need to buy a starting right back. But we could do better than Gertruda. So I would say pass on him. Hankel is 26, failed miserably when he moved to Italy, has only ever really done well in secondary leagues, Slovakia and now in the Eredivisie. He is a good player at that level. Can play centre-back or left-back, but doesn't really make sense for us because if we're going to bring in a left-footed centre-back, it would make a lot more sense to bring in a really young left-footed centre-back like a William Pacho or a Levi Colwill or someone like that. So I just don't think Hanko's good enough to play for us, frankly. I also think it would be a huge red flag if we went buying at Feyenoord. Like, look at some of the top managers over recent years that have come from clubs of that level to clubs of our level and gone back to buy from them, and it never works out well. It never, ever works out well. Like, it's not like this is a great Feyenoord team who've, you know, won a European Cup or won a UEFA Cup even. Like when Mourinho came to Chelsea, he brought Carvalho and Ferreira with him, but they just won the European Cup. So that was different. That was a special team. This Feyenoord team are a good Eredivisie team. Obviously won the Eredivisie last season, won the Dutch Cup this season. But there's nobody in that team that's worth us making a move for that we couldn't get better elsewhere. The same goes for Mats Wiefer in midfield. He's a talented player, though if people could stop with the nonsense that he was a central midfielder before he moved to Feyenoord and that Slot turned him into a defensive midfielder, that would be great. Go and look at the 2021 season where he split his time between defensive midfield and central defence. In his second season at Excelsior, he played as a box-to-box midfielder. But prior to that, he'd been a defensive midfielder and centre-back. Arne just moved him back into his natural position. What else? Oh, Coop Miners. I mean, he's a good player. Like, he is a good player. He obviously did very well against us in the Europa League. But still, no. No. Just doesn't work for us. Doesn't make sense in an Arnie Slot team with Alexis McAllister already in place in that kind of playmaking midfield role. Few of the things that need to be put in the bin, the notion that Slot constantly inverts the right back, not true. The notion that Trent will have the same role as he has now, not true. If you watch what Gertruda does at Feyenoord, he inverts in three different ways. Sometimes he inverts into a back three, he just slides across and forms a back three. Sometimes he inverts into like the defensive half space where he's in between the two centre backs and the two midfielders on that right hand side. And sometimes he will slide in next to the defensive midfielder. Most of the time when that happens, the left back also tucks in. And it's a 2-3 defensive shape. It's just that the fullbacks come a bit narrow. Otherwise, it will be a standard 4-1. But it's a 2-3 because they come a bit narrower. But he doesn't just wander into midfield the way Trent does and then stand about. A lot of time, he just holds the width and overlaps. Sometimes he'll underlap the winger. But he's not used in the same way Trent is used at all. There's far more variance to how Gertruda is used by Arnie Slot than what we're doing with Trent. Same thing with the left back. Sometimes they'll invert, but only into a three. Never into a two. Most of the time they will overlap or underlap. They will get forward and join the attack. So the idea of playing a defensive left back doesn't really work in how he sets his team up. Now, if you could find maybe someone like Inacio who's really comfortable on the ball, they could play the Gertruda role, but on the left. But it would require Trent to do a lot more overlapping than he has in recent years. You'd be looking at getting Trent back to not even what he used to be. It'd be kind of a cross between what he used to be and what Robbo used to do, or what Robbo still tries to do. So he doesn't use his fullbacks the same as ours. He didn't reinvent the wheel with Mats Wiefer. He's not going to sign somebody who's not a defensive midfielder and is 26 or 27 and convert them. It's just nonsensical shite that people have made up in their own heads. It literally takes, I don't know, 3 hours on Y Scout just to sit down and watch clips of Feyenoord. You can watch entire games in less than an hour. But they don't play anything like how we play. And again, this nonsense that people like Melissa Reddy are pushing, that his style of football was less of a departure from Klopp than Amorim, just isn't true. It just isn't true at all. Everybody getting caught up on the back three thing. Like, positional fluidity means that you're going to be in back threes no matter what your setup is at different times in games. Formations these days are largely just something to show on the TV. Yes, you will defend in a certain formation, a certain shape, a certain set. But when you're attacking, that's largely irrelevant to what you're doing. Formations go out the window. Players move and cut and relocate and move again. So this idea that, oh, Ruben Amorim wanted to play a back three, so it couldn't have been, nonsense. Xabi Alonso plays a back three. Like, Slot's team often attacks from a back three. So, again, nonsensical. Sometimes they'll defend in a back three. Nonsensical stuff being made up by people that hadn't been talking about Arnie Slot beforehand, because, again, nobody was talking about him beforehand. I'm getting more excited about his arrival, though. Part of it is just wanting this season to be over. This season has been a horror show from the United Cup game to now. Was really, really good, obviously, before that, but has been a horror show since that. And personally, I can't wait for it to be over now. And unfortunately, that does mean the end of, you know, Jürgen's tenure, but he looks like a man ready to leave. He does look like a fella who's ready to go. On This Is Anfield, there is a preview of Liverpool in May. There's a piece about Arnie Slot. There's 30 of our favourite photographs of the Kop. It has been reported that the charity game against the Ajax legends raised 1.2 million, which is great. And it just, having Sven be part of it was just fantastic. Liverpool are expected to target a new winger in the summer transfer window, which could prompt further speculation over the future of Luis Diaz. David Ornstein has said he's heard from multiple contacts that Liverpool will target a wide player. This article mentions Crescencio Somerville. Be a hard pass from me. Good player, absolutely a good player, but doesn't resemble what we have traditionally done under Michael Edwards. Younger than what Edwards would typically target, and also not proven in a top five league. So if we were in a position where we had Salah, Bobby, and Mane all in their primes, so if we could go back to like 2019 and Crescencio Somerville was doing what he is, then you would sign him as a squad player. But he's not someone that comes in and starts for us. He doesn't move the needle in the next 2 years. He's a talented player, but he's still got an awful lot to learn. Like, it's one thing putting up these numbers in the Championship. 20 goals, 10 assists, I think 4 penalties, maybe 5 penalties in 45 games. But off ball, quite lax. Makes poor decisions in the final third quite often. He does remind me a lot of Raheem Sterling, which I like. But again, he's not someone that's coming in and immediately raising the level of this team. And, you know, Saeed Benrahma put up those kind of numbers in the Championship. It's a very different league to the Premier League. Others named here, Nico Williams of Athletic Club de Bilbao. 4 league goals this season. Johan Bakayoko, no to Eredivisie players. Michael Olise, absolutely. Kubo, interesting. Very, very interesting. Supremely talented. One of the best dribblers in the world. He's had such an unusual career to date. Signed for Barcelona as a kid. Turned out that it had been illegal for Barcelona to sign him when they did. Had to go back to Japan. Stayed there for 3 years. And then Real Madrid took a chance on him. Brought him in. Never then gave him an opportunity. Just loaned him out. He had 4 different loans. None of them were spectacular successes, but he was very, very young. But he's now in year 2 at Real Sociedad, and he's been consistently good for them. He hasn't exploded in the way I think a lot of people thought he might. Last season, there was a hint that this might be the big season for him. It hasn't quite worked out, but he has been very, very good and very impressive. Keita Nakamura, I mean, he's a good player. Again, he's not someone I think moves the needle for us. I think he'd be a good squad player. He hasn't really excelled in the games I've watched with Reims this year. He did look quite good at last year, but again, it's the Austrian league. So, you know, it's a significant level below what he would be coming into. What's his numbers like this year? He wasn't doing great pre-Christmas, unless he's had an uptick since. I'm not sure. 4 goals, 1 assist in 22 games? No. That one's a bit foolish. Mohamed Kudus, though, he jumps out off this list. Him and Elise are by far the two best players mentioned in this article. And Elise is the same age as Somerville, as is Kubo, and they're both significantly better players. Elise has a buyout clause. I think it's 60-65 million. He's had some injuries this year. Well, one injury that reoccurred. He'd never been hurt before. He's been absolutely outrageous for Palace the last season and a half. This season, only 16 appearances, but 7 goals. And his creativity is just immense. Like, he's got 7 goals and 4 assists this season in the Premier League in 1,000 minutes. Like, that's really, really impressive. That's the type of thing you spend the money on. Last season, what did he do? Only 2 goals, but 11 assists. Like, that type of creativity, and he's a great set-piece taker, and he's versatile, and he's good off the ball. The year before, he was 4 goals and 8 assists in 1,500 minutes. There was no injuries that year. Palace were dull. He had a sore foot for a game or two, but that's not an injury to knock. But Palace were being very careful with him because he's an absolute gem of a talent. Mohamed Kudus and him would make so much sense for us. Those two would be exceptional to get. If you sold Diaz and got those two, Diaz would pay for one of them, and we should have the money to go and get the other. I know a lot of people are keen on Nico Williams. He's lightning, but the end product just isn't there enough. Keep seeing people say, oh, well, he's got, I think it's 12 goal involvements from 25 starts or something like that. But, like, that's not... What's that? Is that meant to be impressive? 4 league goals is 4 league goals. So it's 7 goals in all competitions. 14 assists to his credit, but 7 league goals in 33 appearances, just not doing it for me. That's La Liga. It's much easier to score in La Liga than it is in the Premier League. There's not one single good defence in that league. If we brought him in, again, he would make a ton of sense if we had Prime Salah and Prime Mane. Then Nico would make all the sense. But we don't. And we're not going to sign 3 wingers this summer. But we should sign 2. We should sign 2. Kudus should be 1. Ideally, Elise would be the other. But if it was Kudus and Nico, that wouldn't be bad. Wouldn't be bad at all. You're gambling with him because the goal numbers have never been there. Like, it's not like a thing that this is a down season for him. Last season, he got 6 league goals, 9 in all competitions. The year before, 3 in all competitions, none in the league in 34 games. Like, 118 games in the senior team with 19 goals. That's just not getting it done. And yes, he is very, very young, but he's played a lot of minutes in his career. He should be further along in terms of his finishing. He's very erratic in front of goal. But he's a lot of fun to watch. He is a lot of fun to watch. But it's good to know that we are going to be targeting a winger. That is one of the the three things that Arne Slot will need. If Salah stays, he needs three starters. He needs a winger to replace Salah on the wing so Salah can play more centrally. He needs a left back and he needs a holding midfielder. He would also probably need a centre back to rotate with Ibu and probably a replacement for Kelleher, who I would be shocked if he's still at the club next year. But we need to avoid some of the nonsense that's come into our recruitment in the last couple of seasons. We've already had the transfer committee would have signed Nkunku rather than Darwin, a leak. I mean, it's well known that we chose Gakpo over Kudus. So it's not great. Not great at all. We chose Gravenberch over Kevin Thuram. We chose Endo over Alan Varela. They're all the wrong move. Every one of them. We chose Luis Diaz over Bruno Guimarães. Obviously, totally different type of player, but Guimarães is a significantly better player. Yeah. So we need to get things right like we used to. And with Edwards back and the structure being king, I would back them to get the recruitment right. Like Bakayoko is really, really good. Really, really good. But I'd rather see him have an in-between move. And there is, like, there's been some links for him to Premier League clubs. And the most notable one is Brentford. And that's the right kind of move for him at this time, is Brentford. That's the type of in-between move that makes a lot of sense for him. Goes there, even if it's only for a year, ideally 2 years, and then he gets his big move. That's the type of move that works. Nakamura would just be a hard pass. Nico, if he was the second one, Bakayoko if he's the second one, that'd be fine. But again, I think we can do better. Anyway. How are we for time? I've just been rambling. We'll check AnfieldIndex.com. I have to go and record Scouted. So, AnfieldIndex.com. We have an exclusive interview with Michael Owen. Ben Poscod took care of that. So do give that a read. There's also a piece about from that interview, an excerpt from that interview over on EPL Index. Check that out as well. Michael didn't have too many kind words for Darwin, so do check that out. Fans left fuming as referee is revealed for the Spurs game. It is Paul Tierney, Jurgen's best friend. The PGMOL just wanting to make sure that while we're down, we get kicked some more. Podcast-wise, there is a new Scouted. There is a new transfer show. There's Liverbirds. And there is a new Under Pressure, Dan Kennett, Hamza, and Dr. Phil Barter. Brundish just away doing Brundish things. So do give that a listen when you get a chance. It's very, very good. And there will be another Scouted out tomorrow, which we're about to record now. So I will see you all in the morning. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.